السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها، صدق الله العظيم. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ألهمنا مراشدنا واعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، الحمد لله. It is an honor and a privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has once again gathered us here to speak about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala mentions in the verse which I recited before you, that وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدِعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah ta'ala has the asma'ul husna, His beautiful names. Allah says فَدِعُوهُ بِهَا, so call out to Allah ta'ala with these names. One of the many benefits of learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we can personalize our du'as. One is a person says, Ya Allah, give me this, Ya Allah, give me that, Ya Allah, I need this. But one is that you use the specific name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which pertains to your need. So for example, a person is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy. So now he uses the name of Ar-Rahman. He uses the name of Ar-Rahim. That Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Irhamni, Ya Allah, you have mercy upon me. A person is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He uses that specific name of Ya Ghafoor, or the one who loves to forgive. Oh Allah, you forgive me. So it gives a personal touch to a person's du'as, that he's able to use that specific name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call out to Allah ta'ala with that name. Another benefit of learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it comes in the hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى تِسْعَةَ وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمًا مِئَةَ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala has 99 names. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who will memorize these names, he will enter Jannah. So it's a huge, huge virtue and a huge reward for a person who simply memorizes the names of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and then uses them to call out to Allah Ta'ala in his du'as. Inshallah, in today's time that we have, we'll be discussing two names of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Number one is Al-Ba'ith. And number two is Al-Shaheed. Al-Ba'ith Al-Shaheed. Al-Ba'ith refers to the one who will resurrect the entire creation on the day of Qiyamah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will resurrect each and every single person. So mushrikun of Mecca, the disbelievers of Mecca at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were certain concepts that they just could not understand. They could not wrap their head around certain things. One was Tawheed. They were people who used to worship many different gods. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to them and he told them that there was only one Allah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, there's only one God who is worthy of worship. One Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something they couldn't understand. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. What? We have hundreds of gods and you're saying that all of these gods, there's only one now? All of the rest are batin? There's only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. This is something very strange. So they couldn't understand the concept of tawheed, of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another concept that they couldn't understand was ba'ath. وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Resurrection. That was beyond their comprehension. أَيْذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ. What? You're telling us that after we have passed away, after our bodies have disintegrated into the ground, once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect us, is going to raise us up, we're going to have to stand before Allah? What are you talking about? They could not understand. As bin Wa'in, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah ta'ala makes reference to this incident in Surah Yasin on the last page. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. He came and he brought in an old bone that had dried out. And he brought it before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he sort of smashed it with his hands until it became little small pieces of fibers. And then he started blowing it, and all the particles started flying everywhere. So then he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man yuhyil 'idama wa hiya ramim?" Who is going to put this back together? How is Allah going to resurrect this bone once again? It's all split up into different pieces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qala man yuhyil 'idama wa hiya ramim? Qul yuhyiha alladhi ansha'aha awwal marrah wa huwa bikulli khalqin 'alim." The one who created that bone in the first place, he will bring it back to life once again. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you already, he brought you into existence once, then what is so difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it a second time? Now there's a deeper lesson over here which I wanted to point out, that what led them to this, to denying tawheed, to denying ba'ath, resurrection, was this constant mode of objection. That they just wanted to raise ishkal after ishkal, objection upon objection. They simply could not submit themselves. They could not accept the fact that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, it must be true. And this same mentality continues to exist today. That in hiya illa hayatuna ad-dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma nahnu bimab'uthin. How many atheists have this exact same mentality that the mushrikun of Mecca had? That we're just going to live, we're going to die. وَمَا نَحْنُ مِمَبْعُوثِينَ وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهَرُ. We're never going to be resurrected. The time is just going to pass, it's going to destroy us, we're going to die, and that will be the end of it. We cannot see resurrection. We cannot witness. We can't observe it in the scientific lab. Hence, we're not going to believe in it. We live in a time when everyone wants to ask this question, that how, and why? That tell me, scientifically, prove to me, show me, I want to see it, and then only I'll believe. There's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the Quran right at the beginning in Surah Baqarah with Alif Lam Mim. What does Alif Lam Mim mean? Nobody knows. So many different explanations you'll find in the books of Tafasir. But all of those are just guesses at the end of the day. None of them are certain. We don't know for sure what exactly Alif Lam Mim means. And the scholars mention that the hikmah, the wisdom behind this, is that if you want to benefit from the Quran, then you will have to approach the Quran with a level of humility. You have to understand that my ilm, my knowledge, can never be equal to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. There are certain things which Allah ta'ala knows and we don't know. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that, and Allah is وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. There is no one who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be sufficient for us to recognize that we need to submit ourselves. The fact that Allah ta'ala told us it, it has to be true. You know, it's like a father, just to give a simple example for us to understand. A father tells his little son, his four-year-old son, that son, when you go outside, you have to wear a jacket. It's cold outside. You have to wear socks. Make sure you wear a shawl. Wrap yourself up. Don't just walk outside in a t-shirt. You're going to get sick. Now, what does the four-year-old son understand? He's like, no, I can go outside. It's okay. It's not a big deal. But we recognize, when we look at that situation, we see that the father has a certain degree of knowledge, a certain degree of wisdom, of experience that the son does not have. And it will be foolish for the son to think that I don't need to listen to my dad. I can do what I want and I'll be fine. He's going to get sick when he goes outside. Right? So the son has to recognize that my dad has a certain amount of knowledge that I simply do not have. Likewise, us as human beings, of course, وَفَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. But just for us to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a degree of knowledge that we do not have. Allah ta'ala knows things that we do not know and we will not be able to know. Because we are the makhluq, we are the creation of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the one who made us. So how can our knowledge equal the knowledge of Allah ta'ala? So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that ba'ath, resurrection, is going to happen, it is going to happen. And it's nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah ta'ala created the entire creation the first time. Is that not sufficient of a proof for you to recognize, O insan, that Allah can do it a second time? وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ It is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repeat the process once again. So this is al-ba'ith, the one who will resurrect the entire creation. There's another type of ba'ath which the scholars speak about, and that is reviving a person spiritually, resurrecting a dead heart. Just like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives a dead earth, اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. How often you look at a plot of land and it's completely dead. And sometimes even in the summer, you go to some of these fields, you go to some of these gardens, and you look at everything, it's dry. It doesn't look like anything has ever grown there or anything will ever grow there. Completely barren. But then what happens? When the fall season comes, when the rain comes, the winter comes and starts raining, that same garden by springtime, by springtime it's so lush, it's full of greenery, the trees have grown back, the crops are there. You say, Subhanallah, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just flipped the entire plot. Look at how He revived that seemingly dead earth. He made it alive again. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can revive a dead heart. A person who has suffered a spiritual death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can revive him. We are now coming closer and closer to the month of Ramadan, just over a month left until this Mubarak month. This is a time when we should already, the month of Ramadan is a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives many, many individuals. Many people who have suffered a spiritual death. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say, قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ Said many people are alive, physically they are alive, but spiritually their hearts have suffered a spiritual death. So the month of Ramadan is a month when a person who has suffered a spiritual death can be revived, can be resuscitated, but he just has to want it. Like that's one thing that you have to have when you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have the desire that I want to come closer to Allah. I want to change my life. I want my heart, which has suffered a spiritual death, to be revived, to be resurrected. If a person doesn't have that desire in him, then it doesn't matter what happens. He can go for Hajj, he can go for Umrah, he can go through the month of Ramadan, he can be punctual in the masjid. But if he himself does not want to change, then there is nothing that can change him. A person who has the desire that I want to change, I recognize that I have certain flaws, I have certain faults in my life, certain sins in my life that I need to get rid of. I recognize that my ibadah is not at the level that I would like it to be. Then inshallah, for this individual, there is hope. There is hope for change. There is a hope for a better tomorrow. So this is al-ba'ith. Al-Ba'ith, the one who revives, the one who resurrects, the one who will resurrect the entire creation on the day of Qiyamah. Let's move to the second name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Ash-Shaheed. Ash-Shaheed is the mubalagha form of Shahid, the one who is witnessing everything. Everything that happens, everything that takes place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ Allah Ta'ala says, whatever matters you are engaged in, whatever tilawa of the Qur'an that you do, وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ Any deed that you perform, إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا Allah says, we are witness to it. I always say you can hide from the cameras of the world, but you can never hide from the camera of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go to any place nowadays, there's always security cameras. Even now you come to the masjid, you see in every corner, there's security cameras. Whatever you do is being monitored. It's being watched. But then there are certain places that you go where there's no security cameras. For example, a person's house, or maybe some houses have security cameras also. But, you know, there are certain places on the earth that you can find where you won't find security cameras. There's no video footage of your actions. However, kiraman katibin ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. The angels are watching. The angels are recording. And on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be shown his actions. And a person will look at his book of deeds. He'll look at his actions and he'll be shocked. يَهْوِيلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا
he'll look at his book of deeds, he'll say, what? Every single action that I performed in the world is documented over here. كَبِيرَةً وَلَا صَغِيرَةً. Neither anything big nor anything small. There's nothing except that is present here. Allah says, وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْنِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Whatever actions you performed, that is what is recorded over here. Allah Ta'ala doesn't oppress anyone. Meaning Allah didn't add anything to your book of deeds. Whatever you did, that is exactly what you will find. So every action, every deed a person performs, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is watching. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is aware. When a person will have this conscious, he'll have this awareness that Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me, then he will be so particular with regards to every action that he does. You look, this week, you know, in our country, it was a very historic week in the sense that you had the inauguration of the 47th president of the U.S. And I think this is a time when we can reflect over the inaugurations of the Khulafa' al-Rashidun. This is a time when we can reflect over the inauguration of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. Now, what did their inaugurations look like? What did their lifestyle look like in comparison to what we see from the leaders of today? In Arabic, they say, وَبِالْأَضْدَادِ تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. You know things via their opposites. You know, you recognize darkness because we've seen light. You recognize light because we've experienced darkness. You recognize the cold because we've experienced heat. You recognize the heat because we've experienced cold. Imagine if there was no light and it was always dark. How would you recognize darkness? That would just be the normal state. Imagine if the temperature outside was always 5 degrees. You would never say it's hot, never say it's cold, because you're just used to that. It's constant. It's always the same. But because you have opposites, you have cold, now you know what hot is. You have hot, you know what cold is. You have light, you know what darkness is. You have darkness, you know what light is. So وَبِالْأَضْدَادِ تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. By opposites, you know, and you recognize things. So when we see these inaugurations of today, we see the thousands, the millions of dollars which are spent on them, you know, from the security team to the parade to the celebrations. Let us look back for a moment. What did the inauguration of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu look like? When the day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was inaugurated as Khalifa, he gathered the people in the masjid. Sa'id al-Mimbar Hamid Allah ta'ala wa athna alayhi. He then ascended the pulpit. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then he addressed the people. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا تَمَنَّيْتُ الْإِمَارَةَ قَطُّ وَمَا حَرَسْتُ عَلَيْهَا لَيْلَةً وَلَا يَوْمًا قَطُّ وَمَا دَعُوتُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى سِرًّا وَلَا عَلَانِيَةً وَلَا وَدِدْتُ أَنَّهَا إِلَى أَيِّ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى أَنْ يَعْدِلَ فِيهَا فَهِيَ لَهُ رَدٌّ. He said, oh people, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not once in my life did I ever desire to become the Khalifa of the Muslims. These were people who did not view power as a privilege, but they viewed power as a responsibility. They realized that Allah is ash-shaheen, Allah is aware, Allah is witnessing every action that I do. As Khalifa, as the ruler, I will be accountable for every single action in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they had this constant worry. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is telling the people, I swear by Allah, I never had a desire to become the Khalifa. I never retired to bed. I never woke up in the morning and made dua to Allah that, oh Allah, make me the Khalifa of the Muslims. So not once did I ever make this dua. La sirran wa la alaniya. Neither publicly nor privately. Then he said very powerfully, وَلَوْ وَدِدْتُ أَنَّهَا إِلَىٰ أَيِّ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَىٰ يَعْدِلَ فِيهَا فَوَلَوْ رَدٌ. Any one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who would like this post and will be just, he will maintain justice, I will give you this khilafah. I am ready to step down today and hand it over to you. I don't want it, you can have it, as long as you have justice. Imagine, this is his inauguration speech. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's inauguration speech. Such high level of simplicity, of humility. Ali radiallahu anhu stood up and he said, مَنْ دَلَّذِي يُؤَخِّرُكَ وَقَدْ قَدَّمَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Oh Abu Bakr, who is going to pull you back when Allah's Nabi put you forward? When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the 9th year could not perform Hajj, he sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on his behalf to lead the Muslims. In the final days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, when he was too weak to come and perform salah in the masjid to lead the people in salah, he said, Muru Aba Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that he must lead the people. So this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's inauguration speech. Then after that, on his first day as Khalifa, Umar radiallahu anhu sees him walking with some clothes, some cloth on his back, and is going towards the marketplace. So Umar radiallahu anhu stopped him. He said, Oh Abu Bakr, ila'in, where are you headed off? Where are you going? He said, I'm going to the market to sell these pieces of cloth, these clothes, whatever he had. He said, I'm going to go sell it. He said, What's wrong with you? How can you engage in business? You are now the Khalifa of the Muslims. Your job, your responsibility is to take care of the affairs of the believers. If you're going to go and engage yourself in business, who's going to look after the Ummah? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Point taken. But I also have to earn money for my family. How am I going to earn? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, You know what? I think you should take a stipend from the Baytul Mal, from the treasury. Take a stipend, and that will take care of your needs, take care of the needs of your family. And you look after the Ummah. That should be your full-time responsibility. You should not be engaged in business. So he forced him, and hence Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then took a stipend. And he was so, so careful. And this is the point that I want to drive. And when a person has this awareness that Allah is a shaheed, Allah is watching, look at what a high level, high degree of taqwa a person will adopt. Once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's wife asked him, that, can we have some sweets? Can we have some dessert in our house? I have a craving, I have a desire to get some dessert. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, My dear wife, I'm sorry, but I don't have the money. I don't have any extra money in my house. How am I going to buy you dessert? So she decided, let me save some money every month from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's stipend. Every month when he gets his stipend, I'll take a little bit, a few cents out, and I'll just save it. After a few months, maybe I'll be able to afford a few desserts, a few sweets. So that's what she did. A few months, she started collecting a little bit of money every month from his stipend. After a few months, she came and she presented the wealth to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She said, Here's the money. Can you go and buy me some sweets? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw this and he started crying. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I have been taking too much money from the Baytul Mal. The fact that you were able to save money and you were able to collect this extra money means that we are taking extra from the public treasury. He then went to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, the treasurer, and he said, Oh Abu Ubaidah, from today I want you to decrease my stipend by this amount. And he showed him the wealth that he had collected. He said, We've been taking extra all this time, decrease it. Subhanallah. This is what happens when a person is aware of Allah, when a person is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he recognizes that Allah is a shaheed. Later on in the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as he's passing away, he only lived for two and a half years after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other day in Hakim, I came across a beautiful narration which mentions that kana sababu mawti Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu mawtu Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ma zala jismuhu yajri hatta tawaffahu Allahu azza wa jal. The narration mentions that the reason why Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu passed away was out of grief and sadness over the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That from the day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, his body continued to ache, continued to pain over the separation from his beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, he mentioned those lines of poetry: "Layta al-qiyamat qamat 'inda mahlikihi kay la nara ba'dahu malan wala walada walastu asa 'ala shay'in fuj'tu bihi ba'da ar-rasul idha amsa mayyitan fuqida kam li ba'daka min hammin yunassibuni idha tadhakkartu anni la araka abada." Said, I wish the day of judgment happened to coincide with the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we would not have to live after his death. He said, I don't know how to contend with the fact that I have to live wala araka abada, and I will never see my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again in this world. It was just too painful for him. So out of grief, out of sadness over the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was actually the cause of the passing of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhum. So the day he was passing away,
His head was in the lap of his wife, his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. And then he told Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, "Oh my daughter, I feel so bad that all this time I've been taking a stipend from the Baytul Mal." He said, "Whatever assets I have," he didn't have much, but in whatever assets that he had, he said, "Oh Aisha, if you don't mind, after I pass away, can you sell it? And whatever money you get, take it and give it to Umar radiallahu anhu, just to recompense for the stipend that I've been taking as Khalifa." So Aisha radiallahu anhu did that. She sold the goods. She brought the money to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu to Umar radiallahu anhu, to his successor. When Umar radiallahu anhu saw this, he teared and he said, "Rahim Allahu Aba Bakrin, laqad at'aba man ba'dahu." He said, "May Allah have so much of mercy upon Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He has tired out anyone who is to come after him." That he set the standards so high, how is anyone going to compete with him? لَقَدْ أَتْعَبَ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. I'm getting the time signal, so we have to conclude. But I'll conclude on this point, that الشَّهِين, when a person has this reality, has this consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of me, then he will not waste anything. Then he will not have the ability to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He won't even think of disobeying Allah. He'll think 1,000 times before breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he recognizes that Allah is watching, the camera of Allah is watching, Allah is aware, and I will be accountable for everything that I do on the day of Qiyamah. I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the reality of these two names of Allah, beautiful names of Allah, Al-Ba'ith, Al-Shaheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an appreciation for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi ni jalani wajhik wa ni azimi sultanik. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majeen. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majeen. Rabbana atina في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه كل خير، ومن أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين شرا فرد كيده في نحره. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين، وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ أعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم، واغفر لنا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن شاء الله breakfast is ready. We kindly request everyone to proceed downstairs and enjoy the